Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name, once again, it's Kerry Stevenson. And here with our update is Mr. Tony Lecantro. Big drum roll from Alto Capital. What did I call you last time, Tony? I called you some fabulous name.
Truth Bomb Tony.
Truth Bomb Tony. So as always with this Truth Bombs of the Month, Tony, let's get stuck into it. It's a really interesting times. Some things are going up. Some things are not going up as much. Inflation seems to be rearing its ugly head a little bit. And I think that's being seen in the prices, not just of commodities, but of property. Good old Aussies, we love our property. And I don't know about you, but it seems to be just up, up and away. And it reminds me a little bit of the Roaring Twenties.
Oh, were you around then?
No, but I read. Well, maybe I was.
Well,
it's so rude, ladies and gentlemen. Switch off now. How rude.
Well, the Roaring Twenties.
Well, do you remember, Tony? Because if you think about it, the Roaring Twenties, big party, 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 and then we had the Great Depression. Do you think that's where, you know, can history repeat?
Oh, absolutely. But I hope we don't go into that those dark times. But look, let's be honest. The whole world has gone completely batshit crazy. And I haven't seen anything like this. It's just a wash full of cheap money. Money's going into assets that are wildly overpriced. Millennials, anyone is now trading the probably 6,000 shit coins on the market now. Ponzi scheme, red or black, sit there on your phone, trade these worthless Ponzi scams that they are. And then people are piling into property. Like there's a shortage of houses, mainly in Sydney and Melbourne, and it's all a bit of a global phenomenon. That's a hard word to say, especially when you've had a skinful. But I just see, you know, the Roaring Twenties, you had jazz, you had celebrities like Groucho Marx and others promoting stocks. Now you have porn stars reading finance books promoting crypto. So I think very similar to the 1920s, minus all the social media influences. It's just got to that stupid stage of the market. And even I go back about 18 years ago, Tasgold was an IPO, and they actually used David Boone to promote that IPO. David Boone, ex-Australian cricketer, for those that don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, loved a beer. And he was promoting stocks. Now we've got, you know, porn stars. We've got celebrities. I even see Steve Smith promoting CFDs, which I call contracts for dickheads. The world has gone media crazy. There's no substance. We're in for the biggest reality check of all time. I'm as bullish as I can be about... Actually, no, let's just say I'm confident of it all turning to shit. Here's the chance for people to get the hell out. COVID has bought you an extra year to get the hell out. I mean, it's
well,
crazy.
Well, hang on, Tony.
Go ahead.
Tony, I'm always going to come on to you with some things like this. Let's just put a scenario, and that is this. Mm-hmm. The reason that assets are going up, such as property, and the share market is on the up, is because for the first time ever, we have printing presses from the government going 24/7. And so it's not necessarily the value of the asset going up, it's just the price, because your purchasing power is going down because governments are printing money hand over fist. Now, that's never happened before. So I'm going to beg to differ with you on this one and say I believe it can keep going up only because governments around the world keep printing the funny money. So it becomes a worthless asset. So you need more of the funny money. So it's not actually the value going up. It's just you need more of it because they're printing more of it.
Well, that's just like an ugly person saying beauty on the inside. or someone's aesthetically challenged saying they should get a modelling contract due to equal opportunity. I mean, what the hell? Seriously. Now, what all we need for a bubble to burst is an exhaustion of buyers. So all this pent-up excitement around Elon Musk going on Saturday Night Live, trying to be a comedian, then calling Dogecoin a hustle. That guy's got the Bitcoin cryptocurrency market on a string. So the market reacts to his tweets. But once you start to see losses, you know, these people can try and push an asset price to the moon, but how do they get the hell out? And there's a there's millions of new investors that have come into the market and they don't understand the psychology, the market mechanics, and how the big boys are actually playing with them. So all this talk about stimulus and governments, that is going to wear off. It's like, you know, you buy a family feast at KFC, then suddenly you get offered a Zinger box. You just cannot stuff yourself anymore. And every OECD housing bubble sees 70% of the gains wiped off straight away. So that's not a 70% correction. I'm saying that if a house goes from half a mil to a mil in a bubble, 350 grand of that gain is lost. So there's many stock standard bubbles. We've got the US market, S&P 500 are overvalued. They don't need to crash. They can just grind lower for 10 years, and it's like being sandpapered to death. I think, you know, other markets will possibly take 5 to 7 years to bottom out, but, you know, they're slow-moving markets. I remember going into work the day the NASDAQ died and you couldn't catch a bid. And wow. Now we have people, yeah, it was crickets. You try selling a stock anywhere near market the day the NASDAQ crashed.
What was the catalyst behind that, Tony?
Well, the dot-com stocks just became wildly overpriced. We started to see interest rate increases and the NASDAQ fell off a cliff. And that affected the majority of tech stocks in Australia. You just couldn't find a buyer. So I can just see now, you know, bad example, let's use the property market. Someone buys a house for Marrickville for $2 million. You know, the market turns to crap. Good luck trying to get out at 1.4, 1.5. That's it. They're massive losses on leverage. And I think what also is a massive problem in the psychology space is that people, when they don't sell at the top, they stick their head in the sand.
Right.
So just for example, we had a copper stock called Eagle Mountain. I raised some money at 13. They're $1.30 less than a year's. So six-figure wins, a lotto win for some clients. I'd say, look, take profits all the way up, but those that don't sell at $1.30 start to feel bad about their investment at $1.02, $1.03, and then they become complacent. I'm always encouraging people to try and sell at the top of the frenzy, but you know, you can't sell part of a house.
That is true. And look, I guess houses are a lot more less liquid than stocks, for example. Shares are a little bit easier, especially at the moment. And I can see that we're potentially going into an inflationary period where commodities could do quite well. Now, you work for Alto Capital. You like your small caps. You like your mining. You like your biotech. What are you seeing at the moment in those? I mean, there's a lot of talk around, you know, the green revolution and electric cars. We all know that electric cars need four times the amount of copper than combustion engines. Can you see that this green revolution is going to continue, whether you want to call it a party or a strong commodities sector boom? What's your views on where we are at the moment with the commodities?
I take the view, if you try and forecast commodity prices, you won't buy anything. Instead of like trying to jump on a mega trend, I say to my clients, look, just buy the frigging company. It doesn't matter if they produce gold, copper, oil, or fake dog poo, as long as they can make money out of it. So, look, I love the forecasts on copper. I read today that there's a looming zinc shortage coming very shortly. So I think between, they're expecting a shortage about 2024. I mean, there has been some good calls on zinc. The gold price, you know, around 1900. Silver is, everyone says that silver's going to go. You know, there are periods where commodity prices get slammed and there are periods where they actually do quite well. But, you know, I just think you're best to focus on the company. Don't pay too much attention to all these forecasts. We saw that prior to the GFC, you know, stronger for longer. Blue chip shares would be supported by the influx of super fund money and the index halved. So I tend to stick to the company. I like where what copper is doing. I like the potential. The uptake of EVs in Australia is terrible. But I know it's certainly going to intensify quite a bit. So there's always going to be this green revolution. We've seen some of these hydrogen stocks go nuts. A lot of them are going to amount to nothing. It's like in any speculative bubble, you have a handful of winners, survivors, but the rest of it's just bandwagon jumpers.
Yeah, but okay. So for our listeners out there, how do you pick them? How do you pick them? The market is, if we say nothing else right now, Tony, the market is volatile. And we have a lot of people that don't know what they're doing coming into the market. What do they do? Do they stay out and sit on the sidelines? Because you're saying it could go, you're saying there could be a pullback.
Yeah, but the thing I try and reiterate to people is markets can pull back from any height. It doesn't have to be wildly overvalued. Markets can actually correct from fair value. They can actually go from undervalued to hideously undervalued. If you're worrying about an industry correction, you shouldn't be in the market. Right. So, I mean, I say to my clients, look, okay, the Dow at 34,000, yes, I'd rather it at 23. There's going to be some index risk. But if you try and dodge the market, you're not going to buy anything. And, you know, these 5, 10, 20, 50 baggers are out there, if you can stomach the risk that out of the 500 shareholders that hold your stock, some of them couldn't hold on to someone's hand. That's the market psychology, and that's been around for about 400 years. So people need to get educated quickly. There's far too many stock pumpers on Twitter. I mean, I know I'm accused of being one, but these people just aren't focused enough. They're throwing stock tips everywhere. They're throwing stocks that are going up. I just think now we're at saturation point of experts. We're at saturation point of these webinar emails we get and all these bloody announcements about companies securing drill rigs. How the hell can you stay focused? And that focus is to stay away from the noise and just look at quality companies and just stick to it and don't try and jump on a fast moving stock. But, you know, it's taken me probably 27 years to really nail this game, especially the psychology aspect of it. But, you know, you just got to buy right, sit tight, and buy less stocks with greater conviction. But I really feel for the influx of new investors and new speculators. Let's be honest, could lose money for the next 5 to 10 years. And the worst thing you can do, you might make a few 100% on a lucky crypto investment or following a spec.
Did you just say crypto investment, Tony? You hate crypto.
That's an oxymoron. Better oxymoron than a vegan treat. Just let me cough on that one. Crypto speculation. So all you're developing is a lifetime of bad habits. And there's multiple returns I can get from downloading the frigging Sportsbet app. So all these stories about people that have made all this money, it's just a typical bullshit you get in a speculative bubble. And that extends to all asset classes in newspapers, apart from people that have done well on the stock market. They just, press doesn't want to know about it.
Well, Tony, you know I'm going to dig down into some stocks in a moment. But before I do, let's talk sectors. And everybody knows me, you know, I'm wearing my gold jacket today. I am a gold nerd. Now, I have a view that the second half of 2021 is going to be very good for gold and silver. Love to hear your view.
I I'm a permanent fan of gold. Okay. I cannot predict where the price will go. A while back, I said silver and uranium are the two areas to be in. Our uranium stocks have done very well. Silver stocks really yet to perform. But I remember writing articles on Gold Eagle. Even I had a guest appearance on Kitco when we had a functioning gold industry at $251 US an ounce.
Wow.
And I go back and look at, back at some of my articles, and I was writing about a huge run to $353 US an ounce. So,
and that wasn't that long ago.
It was a while back, but relatively speaking, gold has done its job in maintaining purchasing power. But if you look at the cost, you look at the price of gold, then you look at the cost of production, you can still have a thriving industry regardless of the price, as long as it's the costs are below it. So, you know, you've got all these predictions. I'd rather, and gold also got a currency play, I'd rather not forecast the price of gold. I'd rather look at a company that can grow and acquire assets when the gold price goes through a correction. So gold price weakness is actually your friend.
That's a great way to look at it. Speaking of gold companies, Godolphin, they've got a new MD in town because David Greenwood decided to move back to Perth. Is that good news for the company, or what's your view on Godolphin? Because they've got good assets, and you and I have spoken about this before. You know, you can have the best assets in the world, but if you don't have right management, it can potentially go nowhere. So I'd love to hear your view. Is, you know, because and I think you agree with me, when you're looking at a company to invest in that company, you've got to look at management as well as what it is they've got potentially in the ground in the junior space.
Yeah, I actually, as soon as Janetta was announced as the MD, I had to social media stalk her to get her phone number. So I gave her a call, introduced myself, and she came across very well, obviously has an exploration background. But, I mean, this stock, the sentiment is almost at rock bottom. You know, we had some results which weren't what everyone was expecting. We had David leave the company. We've had a lot of negativity on financial forums. But as I discussed with her, we have the Lewis Ponds resource that underpins the valuation of the company, plus we have a huge porphyry target. So to me, risk-reward-wise, that's one of the best specs on the market, and you can buy it when everyone hates it. So, yeah, I actually went in there and started buying that stock again. Obviously, Janetta has to grow into the role of being the managing director, but the company's got the right assets and it's got the right upside potential. So happy to be there.
Yeah, I guess the assets haven't changed. It's whether or not the hands are strong enough to take it where it's got to go next.
Of course, but, you know, there's obviously a recruitment process and she was selected. I should make it perfectly known that I'm all for an experienced MD. It doesn't matter if they're male, female, non-binary, undecided, as long as they can do the bloody job.
Well, can I tell you, I'm not into non-binary or undecided. Male or female will be good enough for me. Thank you. I'm a bit old-fashioned. Right.
Are you sapiosexual or pansexual?
Oh, Tony, I'm female sexual.
Okay. Sorry, Kerry. Sorry.
At least we have a little bit of fun with these. And now, look, I'm going to do a blatant plug. You know, Philip, I know it's a blatant plug, but, you know, we've got the Australian Gold Conference happening in October this year. We are going to be back face-to-face. How exciting. You're going to be there. I'm going to be there. So for all those people that are out there watching, you can come and say hello to Tony and I in Sydney in October. Do you think, what other gold stocks do you like at the moment?
Well, I've continued to buy Aumin, AUN.
Yeah.
They drilled at Mount Palmer and it was one of the biggest duster results you'll ever see. There was nothing there. Pretty much they had a few sniffs, but the 32 holes, probably found an economic clay deposit. But, you know, that I don't know what happened there. I do know that drilling program, but, hey, it's thrown up some stock around 24 cents. So I'm taking certainly a longer-term view on that stock. I think Zuleika Gold is pretty cheap, around 3738. That just came off 6.8. Godolphin, we discussed.
Sorry, let's just go back to Zuleika Gold. What pushed it down from 6 to 3? Was there any news in the market or lack of news?
Oh, it had some pretty good gold results. Pit traders got hold of it, went to the mid sixes. They all panicked out, and the stock drifts lower. It's kind of like the traders come in, then they exit, and then suddenly, you know, it all turns to crap, and the share price goes back to where it came from.
Do you think these pit traders should be allowed to do what they do, Tony? Because at the end of the day, these are businesses. They're not like. I know trading's out there, but it's not good, is it? It's not good for people that, you know, and the business itself.
Well, I think, isn't there a statistic in the US where 72% of trades are computer-driven? Or somewhere along those lines, I might be completely wrong, but I think why would the ASX look to regulate it when it's generating revenue? And sadly, day trading is kind of taking over longer-term investment. I think... The value investors, the growth in value investors isn't that great, but now everyone just wants to trade the trade, put up a beautiful chart to justify how they lose money. So, no, I think pip trading is going to be around it's going to be around forever. We've got the Chi-X exchange where I've noticed I'll go into one of my stocks and buy some, and then I've got 4 or 5 bids behind me. So a lot of it's computerized, but... As I reiterate, Kerry, fundamentals always win in the end, right, and no amount of pip trading will make a difference.
Is that right? So even though the pip trading's there, eventually the stock can find its own momentum?
Well, they all do, eventually. So, you know, some stocks will actually overshoot. These Facebook, Reddit, whatever, trading gangs will target a stock, push it up for no reason. Then they leave. So for a lot of stale shareholders, it just turns into a chance to take out their trash.
Well, last time we spoke, Tony, we spoke about silver, but we also spoke about uranium. Now, the uranium price is up just a tad, but it's up a little bit since we last spoke. Do you think that there's been the value is now in those uranium stocks, and there are more of them coming out now than there were even a year ago? Where do you think the value lies there, and are there any in particular that you're keeping an eye on?
Well, I put my client into Maranika and Bannerman, and I believe Maranika's just changed their name.
They have. They're now called, what is it, drum roll, Elevate Uranium. Elevate together. I like it.
Yeah, no, well, that's been a great investment for my clients, and so has Bannerman, because what Elevate did was buy uranium pounds on the cheap, and then suddenly the price goes up a bit and people start to calculate what could be a fair value. But I was saying in the office today that the worst thing you can do with uranium deposit is to try and mine the bloody thing. And it's a bit like a company putting a resource on something. It's like putting a ring on it. Sometimes you just got to stay, just keep the momentum going and not try and define a resource that
ultimately is going to disappoint the market. Yeah, but we're going to have to get mine the uranium, because whether people like it or not, actually uranium is one of the cleanest forms of energy, and energy is going to be one of the challenges in the years ahead. We don't have enough energy for what we'll need in the future going forward. So you've got to look at some of these uranium stocks and hope that they do get into mining, because we need the stock. We need the energy.
Yeah, and I think to be honest, what I did, I probably got my clients in a little bit early, and now I have to go back to the sector and reassess it, really, because the easy 400 to 500% has just been won, and maybe I need to look and try and find something of value again.
You know what? Maybe we'll bring that up when we talk again in a fortnight. Maybe I'll say to you, righto, you've done your homework on the uranium stocks. Which ones do you like? By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is all fantastic information that, Tony, you're not taking on any more clients anymore, are you?
Officially, no.
If they ask, very, very nicely. Yeah, because I know you've got a lot of clients and it's very hard to keep up with all of this. So don't slam him with asking for him to look after your portfolio unless you've got $65 million that he might consider it. Tony, what else are you looking at the moment?
Look, I think it's almost time to go through the financial review share page with a highlighter, just trying to pick up a few gems. I'm just sticking to my guns. And what I've noticed is I've intensified my buying in red metal for a number of reasons.
Still like red metal.
I love it. I mean, this stock has been around for 18 years. It's never let me down. They have an underlying lead silver resource called Moronan, which they're looking to spin out. It's 105 million ounces of silver. And they're drilling right now one of the biggest exploration targets I've seen in some time. It's either the mother of all deposits or it's a large graphite deposit that could make tennis rackets, which i.e. means it's sub-economic. But he's also pegged ground in the Paterson province. He's identified the magnetic feature that was the Winu discovery, and they've got Oz Minerals backing them. So these are the type of stocks that have, you know, 200 to 600-700% rallies in between that don't let you down, that are out there giving your shareholders the best possible chance. And I'll look at something like Chalice, which went over $9.
Unbelievable. What's behind that?
We had Julimar, platinum, palladium, group element, nickel discovery, 80Ks from Perth, a heap of strike, turning into a world-class discovery, but now valued at $3 billion. So, some of these companies do jag them, and I just continue to reiterate that a big discovery transcends even the shittiest markets, because doesn't matter what commodity, if you make the discovery, you get rewarded. So I just remain focused on red metal. Look, it's a risk, but the risk reward is certainly there. As I mentioned, I'm buying Godolphin. I like what Inner Scotland is doing at Metalbank. They've just bought an option over a copper cobalt project in Queensland in the Mount Isa region. That stock's been a bit of a grind. I'm sticking to my biotech basket. They're all starting to firm up quite a bit at the moment. So I'm getting quite a few clients.
What about Hammer?
Yep.
What about Hammer?
For some clients, it was 7 to 15 times their money. We took some profits along the way. I know they're around 11 cents. Dan made the right decision to raise money at 9.5. They're drilling at Trafalgar and they're drilling a heap of copper targets in their own right. So, this could have another go for sure. But again, we got set very early. And for some clients, it's like a shared Saturday lotto win. So, certainly following that stock closely.
Okay, we've got two more minutes to go, Tony. So give me your last thoughts for this week. What are you looking at? Is it what's the top of the list? Is it resources? Is it biotech? Is it technology? What's the favorite this week?
I stick to buying undervalued companies with multiple upside potential and try and not fall for any of the crap that's going on around me. I'm putting together some portfolios for clients that got through my rigid screening process, saying, look, it's going to be tough now. Markets will eventually revert back to fundamentals. The easy upside has already been won. So you just got to stick to what you know. I get a lot of pressure to look at a lot of stocks and people get tips. It's all about discipline, having great financial habits that can take you through the medium term, and not buying a heap of crappy assets that are going to cost you 80% of your money. So that's what I'm doing. I just play the same tune. I'm not like AC/DC who'll try and write a ballad. I stick to what I know. And sometimes what I know and stick to can be as boring as batshit, but sometimes the returns will come in one big hit, and that's not a bad thing.
BBUS was something that you've been speaking about in the past where people should have some exposure to that. Do you still maintain that stance?
Yeah, this is a position that's currently going against me. Not a huge amount because I keep buying it, but ideally, it's good to have at least a portion of your speculative portfolio, could be 5 to 10% covered, just in case the shit hits the fan and we see a couple of thousand points off the Dow in a week.
Yeah,
which it actually relates to the S&P 500, but I think the Dow is more widely known. So if the Dow tanks, the S&P 500 will tank as well. But we have had this period in the market has been far too calm for my liking. We're not far off a decent smackdown. And to me, in a falling market, that BBUS will be a handy instrument to have because you can easily sell it to raise money to buy undervalued companies, because buying undervalued companies in a correction, ultimately, if you buy right, will make you a shitload of money, as opposed to buying a stock at 20 cents, having it cruise at 21 cents and you become complacent.
Yeah. And I think complacency is the mother of all issues in this market, especially with the volatility. And as you say, could happen anytime. We don't know. You seem to think that there could be a smackdown sometime this year, but we just don't know. But ladies and gentlemen, if we had a crystal ball, we'd all be doing extremely well. We just do our best. And it's all about just keeping that momentum going, isn't it, Tony?
Absolutely. And staying disciplined and realizing that sometimes you cannot drive a car without reverse.
Taylor Lecantro, always the ones with those lovely one-liners, which I know our listeners absolutely adore to hear. Keep up the good work. And I know you've got lots of clients that love what you do. Thanks for joining us back on Small Caps. We will see you again, Truth Bomb Tony, in a fortnight. Thanks for joining us today.
Look forward to it, Kerry.